Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
All right, the latest on Texas-Oklahoma possibly leaving the Big 12 for the SEC, that is coming up on our show. We shall discuss, but here is Mr. Quick. Hello, sir.
Hey, guys.
Hey. So you wrote a thing today about the path forward for the Blazers in the offseason. CJ for lottery picks, you're hearing?
Yes, top four pick.
Ooh. So who would that – I'm trying to figure out who that would be. Maybe Toronto at number four?
Yeah, I don't know which team it was.
Okay.
So, you know, but that kind of shows the position that Portland is in, that while that seems intriguing, it doesn't fit their timeline and Dame's timeline and what he wants right now. They can't get a young guy and wait a couple of years for him to blossom. They need guys who can come in and play right away.
Yeah, it's like as you were kind of going through reading your piece today, it you definitely get the sense that a fire has been lit and they understand what they're up against here.
Yeah, I think they've always have. You know, this isn't the first time Dame has gone to Neil and said, hey, we need to upgrade the roster. I mean, he did it last summer. He said, told him to go for it. And that's when Neil did a very rare thing and gave up two first-round draft picks to get Covington. They've heard this before. Dame's just been a little more vocal and a little more public about it this time around. But, yeah, they're in the same boat with him. They want to win, and they want to win big, too. I think where the struggle comes is Dame is looking right now, this next season, and I think management is always looking down the road, and I think that's something that Neil will probably have to get over at some point, that, no, I can't think 2 or 3 years down the road. I have to think in the immediate because, you know, the star player is unhappy.
So, Jason, the draft is next week, and then free agency, like August 2 to 6, and we, as we know from the past, that moves rather quickly. Lillard is in Tokyo. I'm curious about the timeline of all this. Do you think that by the time the Olympics are over and Team USA is back on the mainland here, that all of this is ironed out and what the Blazers are going to do to help Damian Lillard is all done? Or when he gets back, is there still time for him to, as he said, commit to what the Blazers are doing moving forward?
I think there'll be some kind of resolution by the time that he gets back from Tokyo or certainly by mid-August. You know, they'll have their free agencies and trades and whatnot done. But, you know, an interesting thing about all of this is, and I'm wondering if this has gotten through to Dame yet, that if he does become unhappy enough to demand a trade, he has to look forward and realize that there are few, if zero, teams out there that have the assets to make a trade for Damian Lillard right now. If they, you know, if he wants to go to Miami, well, that's going to cost Jimmy Butler. It's going to cost Hero, Robinson maybe, and he's going to go there and have nothing to play with. You know, or he can go to Sacramento. They had got some young talent that could pair together. But by the time, whatever it takes to aggregate a trade to match Dame's ability and his salary, there's not going to be much left in those cupboards for him to work with. And he's going to be in the same position he was in Portland. So, you know, that's one aspect to this is, yeah, Portland's not a championship caliber roster right now, not even close. But, you know, they're working. They're trying. And I think he just has to look at what his other options would be and what goes into executing a trade of a player of his caliber.
Can I play devil's advocate? Because surface value, I agree with what you're saying, but we've seen guys force their way out. And when guys just say, I'm not coming back, this doesn't work. Yep. This isn't like the NFL where guys get held hostage. So whether it's James Harden, whether it's Anthony Davis, whether it's Carmelo Anthony, I would make the argument that there's no such thing as a fair value that's ever been had for a player of this magnitude. So that would be my concern, is that if he really digs his heel in or heels and just says, no, I'm not doing this, I don't think you get fair value back. But every one of those circumstances that we've talked about, even Kawhi Leonard, who is a rental player, I'm not going to say it's pennies on the dollar, but it's 50 cents. And you kind of just end up taking the best deal, because I don't know the last time you had a star player in the NBA that was forced to be somewhere he didn't want to be.
Right. I mean, it's a good point. You know, and what's unique about Dame's scenario is most stars, when they have forced their way out, are 1, maybe 2 years left on their contract. Dame has 3 with a player option 4th. You know, so that is another aspect to enter into the equation. No star has done it this early. I mean, he hasn't done it yet. He hasn't demanded any kind of trade. But so I think they're hoping that that things will calm down. And because I still think, and I haven't talked to Dame in a couple weeks, but I think his heart is still in Portland. When he says that, I really believe him, that he doesn't want it to be this way. And, you know, but Neil, this is an incredibly critical time for Neil Olshay and the organization as a whole. And again, I think Neil has to get over, and I think Neil would admit that in the past he has been conservative. He has, you know, turned down trades that would make them instantly better because it would strip them of draft picks or potentially leave them with a guy who came for 1 year or 2 years and then left them hanging. He has admitted that he has been conservative in that regard because he's always looked towards the future. I think now is the time where he has to just say, F it, and make this team significantly better right now.
But your article today, I mean, it doesn't leave fans with a lot of hope that that can be done. I mean, everything you put in there was like, who cares? Like, who cares that they trade into the second round? Who cares that they go get Otto Porter? I mean, give me something or fans, something that they can hang their hat on, that something will get done that's actually significant and will move the needle.
Well, it's all going to depend on what CJ McCollum's trade value is out there in the NBA. And I don't know that the Blazers have a good handle for that right now. You know, I don't think it's high enough to get Ben Simmons on a straight up trade. And you know, I think one of the main parts, I hope people get out of the article, and I know it depresses a lot of people, but they're still holding on to this belief that this core, the starting five, if Norm comes back, is among the best starting fives in the NBA. You know, it had the 4th best differential in the NBA last year. And that was without, you know, CJ for 25 games, Nurk for 35. That's not something I think a lot of people want to hear, but it's a reality. This was a good team when everyone was together. But still, it wasn't good enough to beat a depleted Nuggets team. And they think that they got outcoached in that series. So that Chauncey will address that.
All right. Jason Quick here, our Blazers insider, brought to you by the Oregon Lottery Scoreboard app. On the previous subject of stars and it getting up, like if it gets ugly with a superstar in a franchise, I need to remind people that Jimmy Butler was dealt out of Minnesota and all they got was Robert Covington and Dario Saric. I mean, it's a dangerous game of chicken if you mess with these superstars. Yeah. And if it gets bad, you're talking about pennies on the dollar, which is why some suggest maybe even trading Damian Lillard now, which obviously is not something that the Blazers entertain. They seem very hard-headed on what they have going on. Let me ask you this. Neil Olshey has always made the case, and somewhat accurately, that Portland just can't get free agents.
We just heard from a couple years ago, we just recently heard the clips rolling around with him and Danny Ainge.
And he's always like, we always operate on the margins with free agency. And I get that. Portland is off the beaten path and NBA players, it's not a destination market. However, all the excuses that they have used, to me, don't hold a lot of water because other teams have overcome the same obstacles. I mean, they've managed to spin this into Portland is so uniquely bad. But my question to you, is it? I mean, I get that it's a small market, but so is Milwaukee, and they just won a title. So is San Antonio, they won 5. So is Utah, who's the number one seed. So is Denver, whose future looks way brighter than Portland's. So is Oklahoma City, and all 5 of those have made big moves and taken big swings. Is Portland so much different, or is that BS?
It's a 12% income tax that really hurts them. You know, Florida, Texas, they don't have that. And when you're making $40, $50, $100 million, that's a big deal. And so, yeah, that is a factor that is against Portland. And it's not, I will remind you, it's not just this regime that has had trouble luring free agents. The Pritchard regime, even the Whitsitt regime. So I think there is something to that where guys are reluctant to come to Portland for lifestyle, weather, and the income tax aspect of it.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely a thing. Yeah. Don't get me wrong.
Is it that much worse?
It's just that Milwaukee signed. I mean, they got Chris Middleton and Brooke Lopez as free agents. Charlotte just got freaking Hayward.
Middleton was a trade.
Oh, was he a trade? I thought he was a free agent.
Yeah. No, he came in the Brandon Jennings trade as a throw-in.
Okay. Spurs got Aldridge. Denver signed Millsap. I mean, I don't know.
Yep.
It does happen. It's just frustrating that.
Yeah, and I think they're trying, Isaac. You know, like last year, they tried for Serge Ibaka. They tried for Paul Millsap. And they tried for Marc Gasol. And all 3 of them chose another team.
All right.
And so that doesn't give me a lot of hope then for Norman Powell. Like, to me, this all hinges on, I've said this for 2 months. This, to me, all hinges on Norman Powell. Because if Norman Powell signs, then you can move CJ. If Norman Powell doesn't resign, what the hell does moving CJ do?
Yeah, I agree. I think that is going to be a make or break aspect of this summer. And, you know, Norm sat down with Chauncey in Las Vegas. Norm lives there in the off season. They had a meeting after the Lillard meeting last week, and Chauncey kind of gave him his philosophy and how he would be used and what he sees out of this roster. And their hope is that, you know, Chauncey's kind of charisma and his background will inspire guys. And, you know, that's something that Terry Stotts just didn't have. He wasn't a motivator. He wasn't a uniter. He wasn't a guy who inspired a lot of these guys. So, they're hoping that Chauncey has that kind of element that really connects with players because he was not only just a former player, but a standout former player. So I'll be interested, you know, one of these days to sit down with Norm and pick his brain on what Chauncey's message was and what it meant to him if he does sign with Portland.
Well, I'm assuming, too, you're having to sell Norman Powell on the fact that, just like Damian Lillard, you're selling Norman Powell on the fact that we can make this work here and that Lillard's going to stay and that he's not going to go anywhere. Cause I'm assuming that's probably a pretty big deal for Norman Powell of whether or not you're playing alongside Damian Lillard or you're in the middle of a rebuild.
Absolutely. All these free agents, you know, what am I coming to? Am I coming to a team with Damian Lillard or without Damian Lillard?
Do you buy the, you know, in your piece, you pointed out and you mentioned it, that the starting lineup being the fourth best, you know, when everyone's healthy, do you buy that? And is that a selling point? Can you, if you re-sign Norman Powell and you address your bench, can you really sell that to Damian Lillard that this group of Nurk, Covington, Norm, CJ, and Dame is the fourth best team and that's a title contender?
well, I don't think title contender, but you can sell it that it's a very good team. I mean, look, let's also not forget that Portland had the number one offense or number two offense in the NBA, number one offense after Norm joined the team. Yeah. You know, there's
so that's, fire
that's
the
a
coach.
Pretty good thing. But it's at the defensive end. And, you know, it's interesting when you look at the metrics of this team defensively. CJ, 88th percentile defensively. That blew me away. Nurk, 97th. Powell, 93rd. Covington, 78th. And yet, Stotts couldn't coordinate and game plan with that to get a competent defense out of these guys. So, you know, and that's another thing, too. Damian Lillard, 14th percentile in defense. I think that's something that Damian's going to have to look in the mirror and address as well.
You sound like an old Shea guy. Are you an old Shea guy now?
No, I don't think so. I'm not for or against him. I understand his struggles, and I've said this before. I think he's really smart. But I think he's made some really good moves and some really bad moves. And I think he's been snake bit with a lot of bad luck. I mean, the Zach Collins pick in retrospect was brutal for him. Not only because Zach got injured, but because of the talent that he passed on, the Donovan Mitchells, the Bam Adebayos, John Collins. That was a crippling draft for Neil Olshey and the Blazers.
All right. Where's Jody Allen on all this? Do we have any idea?
Who knows? Who knows?
Yeah. No insides on the Vulcans, huh?
No.
That's tough because I don't know.
I mean, I do know that she's committed to paying the tax.
Oh, she is. Okay.
Yes. She's all in on that, and they will be over the tax, obviously.
Yeah.
You know, they're there with their four starters, with Nurk, Cov, Lillard, and McCollum. So, yeah, she's on board with that.
Will you be in touch at all with Lillard over in Tokyo at all, or is he just kind of off the radar until he comes back?
I don't know. I'm trying to give him a space. I'm kind of it's been a hard time, to be honest. Just I feel like our relationship's become strained a little bit. I feel like there's a lot being said and being caught in the middle, and it hasn't been an enjoyable process. So I'm trying to let things kind of die down a little bit before I start reaching out to him.
Do you think this is really weighing on him, this whole thing?
No question.
Yeah.
No question.
The idea of you know, he has been so pro, I want to do it here. You know, I'm here, I'm committed. And then all of a sudden, feeling like maybe you have to break that promise for someone like that. That to me seems like something that would not be taken lightly and that would cause sleepless nights.
Well, and you just saw Giannis win it in Milwaukee.
Yeah, we were talking about that. I think that may be a good thing for Portland, that maybe that kind of recommits him to, hey, it can be done, or seeing what, you know, I think that hit him in the heart, I would assume.
Yeah. I think what the hardest part in all this, and, you know, I can't relate to it because I'm 51, but I think what hurt him the most was the backlash he got on social media for backing Chauncey and Jason Kidd. And I think that's really the first time that he has been openly criticized. And Dame's a big social media guy, and I think it hit him hard. You know, as he said, you know, those are the people I play for. And he felt like there was an element of, or a portion of the fans who were turning on him, and that hurt him. And that was something new. And I think that played a role, a slice in kind of the unrest that he has been going through this summer.
Was there any hard feelings about how that all went down? I mean, the franchise couldn't have bungled it any worse, and they left him out to dry all weekend to answer those questions about Chance. So was he upset about that?
Yeah, I don't know if upset's the right word. I think he felt like he was out on an island. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Well, franchise did that to him too, but okay. All right. Well, let's just hope. Look, I think the bottom line here, man, I don't know. Give me your, I want your bottom line. My bottom line is that they are lucky that Damian Lillard is such a nice guy, because this could be going a lot worse. And we don't, I mean, it could be going a lot worse behind closed doors. We don't know. But what is your bottom line? Because to me, this guy is as good as gone. Everything I'm hearing, the Blazers don't really have anything they can do. What is your bottom line? What happens this offseason?
I think Dame plays with the Blazers next year. And I think Neil runs it back with the same starting five.
All right. So they get Powell.
And an improved bench. Yep.
Okay. So it's basically more of the same. And then I guess the follow-up to that would be, then what happens next offseason?
Well, then you got Nurk as a free agent, Covington as a free agent. Then, you know, then you can work a little bit. I think with you'll have a little either wiggle room or, you know, you'll have a more of a body of work, especially with Nurk. Can he stay healthy and more of a direction of where you want to go?
All right. You sound like you need a glass of wine. I want to buy you one.
No, I'm putting together a party for my wife. It's her birthday.
Oh, happy birthday.
And as a soup knows, he's coming over for it.
Absolutely. Rob's not invited. Yeah. Rob's not invited.
No. You know, he creeps my wife out. No, I'm kidding. No, so I've been running around a bunch trying to get this party together.
All right. Well, have fun. Party hard. Thank you.
Okay, guys. All right. We'll see you.
Bye.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.